in this study over the next several weeks, the Gospel of Mark. And once you get your outline there, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. And we're going to be in verse number 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 1. Once you got your place there, go ahead and stand if you're able. Mark 1, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3 in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. All right. And everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, and let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Here we go. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Father, bless now the next moments that we have as we look at, Lord, some introductory remarks about John Mark himself, Lord, the author. And I pray that as we look at the book here, Lord, over the next several weeks, you might reveal some things to us that, Lord, we can identify when it comes to this author, his book, and what's contained therein. We thank you for loving us, Lord, and I do pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us and that your glory would shine through us. Well, thank you and praise you for what you've done and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, well, the author of this book is Mark, or better known as John Mark. And if you know anything about the author of the book of Mark, what is Mark mostly known for? John Mark, anybody, what is he mostly known for, the little that we do know about him? Anybody know, brother? He did have that situation with Paul in Acts. Amen. That's what he's most widely known for. What should he mostly be widely known for? The Gospel of Mark is what he should be known for. But when you think about him, he's more widely known for quitting the ministry. Quitting the ministry. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The Gospel of Mark should be an encouraging book to you and I because it shows us that God is still the God of second chances. Amen. And we're going to talk about the idea of quitting. How many of y'all have ever wanted to quit something before? Amen. I think all of us have wanted to quit something before. If nothing else, wanted to quit chores. Amen. But all of us at one time or another have wanted to quit something. Much like Jonah got a second chance from God, Mark was also given a second chance after leaving Paul and Barnabas, as Brother David said, on the mission field. Amen. We've all quit something before. Sometimes it's something physically that we want to quit. Maybe it's exercising. How many of y'all ever want to quit exercising? Amen. Sometimes it's running physically. We don't want to run anymore. Amen. Sometimes it's dieting. We don't want to diet anymore. I want to eat all the brunette and Brunner bars I can eat. Amen. I don't want to have to worry about dieting. I want to eat all the cherry pie I can eat. I don't want to have to worry about that. I want to eat all the food that I can possibly eat that I like and not worry about it. But my teeth will fall out and I have to go to see the oral surgeon. Amen. Sometimes it's chores. I only quit one job in my entire life, preacher, and I'm sure you heard about that, Red Lobster. What made me quit Red Lobster? They continued to work me like a dog and dog and dog and pay me like a goldfish, and it didn't work. I didn't like that. They still do, amen. That's right, you still work at Red Lobster, amen. They wanted to do more with less, and who had to do more? I had to do more, and guess what? I got paid less. And I told them and I warned them and I said, look, I don't do this. Don't do this. They did it. And one day I said, that's it. I looked out over the restaurant. I saw all that work need to be done. All the dishes need to be washed. And I said, that's it. I quit. That's it. I took off my clothes, my apparel, went and told the manager, I quit. I'm gone. And he didn't believe me because I had never done that before. It was totally out of character for me. It was totally out of character. I've only quit two things in my entire life. Totally out of character. And I didn't turn around. I kept walking. I forgot something. I came back in. I saw my manager out there trying to get the tables done and get all the dishes cleaned up. And I said, well, I warned you. The only other thing I quit was Little League Baseball, Joshua. I got hit about 6 times in one game by the same pitcher. And I thought, he has it out for me. And I am never going to play this game again. I chose softball instead. The softball was not as hard as the hardball that those guys were throwing. Amen. And I quit. Mama, I got in the car. I said, Mama, I quit. She said, boy, why are you going to quit? I said, that guy hit me too many times. She said, well, there's other boys out there. I don't want to get hit by them either. Amen. I said, I quit. She said, why don't you give a second chance? I said, I quit. I ain't playing that sport no more. Now, I played recreational ball, but never organized ball. I quit from that day forward. I said, that's it. It's over. I'm not subjecting myself to this type of torture and pain. Quitting. Sometimes it's physical things that we quit. Sometimes it's mentally. Mentally, when we quit, we give up. We give no to little effort or thought to that which we used to give a lot of mental thought to. Sometimes we give up mentally. And I've been there before. I've quit mentally. It's just, I put that thing over there, amen. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. Sometimes quitting mentally is a good thing, especially if you're worrying. Sometimes it's a bad thing if it's a focus that God would have you to focus on, amen. And so mentally, we can quit. Physically, we can quit. Some people quit emotionally. They have no zeal or excitement about what they used to have excitement or zeal about. By the way, it can happen with newborn children. It can happen with newlyweds. It can happen with a new job. It can happen with a new house. It can happen with a new car. You just don't have that same zeal that you used to have. You used to spit polish that car all the time, Pastor White. Then you say, yeah, it's already fading anyway. Amen. I'll concentrate on Mrs. White's car over here. Amen. Yeah, we'll do that one. But you, you're out here. But when we first got that stuff, we was excited about it. Emotionally, we can quit. Some people quit socially. They have no interaction with people like they used to. They just withdraw and quit on life. I don't want to deal with anybody. They don't answer their phone. They won't answer their text. They won't answer anything. Only thing they want is the television or the computer. That's it. Why? It doesn't talk back to you. It doesn't ask you any questions. You don't have to interact. I can just do my stuff. Amen. And some people quit socially. They quit on life. They check out. Amen. Others quit educationally. They drop out of school. And become dummies. No, you're dummy if you do drop out of school. Amen. That's not smart. You ought to stay in school. Amen. Unless something happens against what you wish. Amen. You should stay in school. So we all have quit something, whether emotionally, mentally, physically, socially, educationally. You can go on and on and on and on. John Mark quit the mission field. Should we ever quit on God? What's one of the main reasons why we shouldn't quit on God? He doesn't quit on us. We should never quit on God. Now, you might quit on people and this and that, but you should never quit on God. Now, I'm not saying you should quit on people. I'm just saying sometimes you do. Amen. Go over to Acts chapter 15, verse 36 real quick here. I want you to see something about Mark's character, because Mark is known as a quitter. And in Mark's defense, he was given a second chance. Amen. Acts 15. He was given a second chance. By the way, are you and I going to quit at some time something? Yes. Do we want second chances? Yeah, we want people to forgive us and take us back in and say, hey, it's okay, I can work with you. Acts chapter 15, and notice verse number 36 here. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren. In every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Folks had gotten saved, and Barnabas wants to go and visit these folks. Amen. And notice verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was what? Mark. That's the same one that's the author of the Gospel of Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. By the way, you want to take somebody and go to work with you? They want to get all the benefits, but they don't want to work. Don't you hate that when somebody wants the benefits? Lunchtime, they right there. Work time, can't find a way to FBI. Break time, hey, did you see? Did you know? Hey, work time, can't find a way to FBI. Time to get off work. Boy, it was a hard day of work. Man, I'm so tired. Man, I worked hard today. Didn't you work hard too? You want to kick them in the bump, don't you? You getting paid the same thing I'm paying. You did no work at all. That's Paul's mentality. That's Paul's mentality. Went not with them to the work, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. In other words, Barnabas was so bent on taking John Mark, and Paul was so bent on not taking him, it couldn't be reconciled. They had to pull apart. It was that bent. So Barnabas took who? Mark. And sailed unto Cyprus. Now we'll find out later on that he is his cousin. He's his relative. Think that makes a difference? I think so. I think that makes a difference. Blood is thicker than water, they say. Verse 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And so Paul started a brand new team with Silas. Barnabas took John Mark with him. Later, Paul would reconcile with him. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. He would reconcile. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Notice verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come surely unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Notice what he says. Take who? Mark. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Notice the statement. For he is what? Profitable to me for the ministry. Now, over in Acts chapter 15, he wanted nothing to do with John Mark. You go and get on out of here. What they say, preacher, may the dog bit you with a door should hit you, whatever that's a. Is that too? Amen. He's saying, get on out of here. Now he's saying, I need him. He's good. He can help me out here. Amen. And keep in mind, not only did God use John Mark for his gospel, he used Matthew for Matthew's gospel. Matthew was a publican and a tax collector and an enemy of the Jews. And who did Matthew write for? The Jews. So how's that for a twist? An enemy of the Jew, Matthew, a publican, a tax collector who the Jews hate, who's writing a gospel declaring Jesus as king. How about John? John was used to write the gospel of John. He was a previous son of thunder, always getting into it with people, a brawler. How'd you like to get his book and say, well, I'd like to get your book when Jesus got in a fight with him. Amen. He used Peter to write 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter was prideful, stubborn, hard-headed, rudely outspoken. And God still used him. By the way, they believe that Mark's account was Peter's influence in his life. And much of what is there, Peter gave him the input on. That's what they believe. So notice something about John Mark. Why may he have quit? Let's go over to Acts chapter 12. Because I want to ask you the question that we ask of John Mark. Why did John Mark quit? And then ask yourself the question, why do you quit? I told you why I quit Red Lobster. I was tired of being worked like a Hebrew slave and getting paid like a dog. I told you why I quit Little League. I was tired of getting hit. And I said, if I'm not here, I don't have to get hit. There's always a reason why we quit something. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And it will help us to understand more about the author when we read the book, if we understand him and why he did what he did. Acts chapter 12, notice down here in verse number 25. But the word, am I in chapter 12? Yeah, 12. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them who? John, whose surname was what? Mark. That's the guy they're about to take. Come over to chapter 13. Notice in verse number 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, who was that? That's Paul and Barnabas, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also who? John to their minister. That's John Mark. All right, everything seems to be going well. You come down here, notice verse number 6. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. How many of y'all entered the ministry thinking you would have to face a sorcerer? Preacher, you didn't get saved saying, I want to meet a sorcerer one of these days. Bring him on. I'll teach him a thing or two. I got Jesus. When I got saved, I wasn't thinking about no sorcerer. How many of y'all got saved thinking about, I want to meet a false prophet and challenge him? There you go, Tasha, you go to college? Bring a false prophet on that West Coast. Uh-huh. Where's Dr. Rasmussen at? Get him. That's what we say, amen. A sorcerer. Now, that there's a false prophet here. Notice this, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, desiring to hear the word of God. Verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. How many of y'all got saved thinking that people are going to withstand you every time you talk about Jesus? I didn't get saved with that in mind. Withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. How many of y'all thought that as you're trying to win people, there's going to be somebody opposing you trying to get them away? I didn't think about that when I got saved. How many of y'all think that when John Mark signed up, he signed up for that? And that he knew that? No more than you and I knew what we get into. Preacher, we knock on that door. And that woman with the alcohol on her breath that won't give you a piece of her mind. Amen. And wonder why she can't get to heaven her own way. And how dare you talk about my way ain't the right way. We didn't sign up for that. But notice what it says down there. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. How many of y'all got saved thinking you're going to face the child of the devil? Now, your devil's disciples is one thing, but his offspring, his spawn, the devil's child himself. Paul called him a child of the devil. Amen. By the way, let me give you something here. Anybody that's not saved pretty much is a child of the devil. He said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Amen. So Paul is just calling it straight. But John Mark is probably like, if he's a child of the devil, what are we doing facing the devil? I could have been at home with mama eating some cherry pie. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. How many of y'all signed up thinking you're going to meet the enemies of all righteousness? Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. But notice verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, what'd he do? Departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. What do you think made him quit and want to go back home? Could have gotten scared. But by the way, the Bible never says why. It could have been medical for all we know. He could have had bad feet, and walking in sandals is not his part, is his cup of tea. He could have had a heart condition, and having things like that happen wasn't good for his heart. Yes, ma'am. You would think so. But perhaps he didn't tell Paul he had the issue. Maybe he's trying to man up. I'm tough and rough, but as soon as I get a chance, I'm bailing out, buddy. I'm out of here. We don't know why he left, but we do know this. He did quit. He did depart from the ministry. It could have been physical. It could have been mental anguish. It could have been social, as we talked about. He wants to withdraw from all this emotional tension going on. It could have been mental. Maybe it was more than he could take being raised up the way he was. Maybe it was physically too tasking on his body. We really don't know. So we can't blame him unfairly. We do know he departed. But does he deserve a second chance? He does. Hey, folks, I'll be honest with you. in the ministry, physically sometimes I have checked out. Mentally, I have checked out. Socially, I have checked out. Educationally, I have checked out. I have checked out more times than I like to admit. Now, the average person doesn't see when we check out like it's all with him, but we still check out nonetheless. If we're honest, you should have did your Bible reading. You went through that and said, blah, 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 done. Got it done for today. You just checked out. You didn't hear a thing God said to you. Come on now. I've been there, but I got it done. Check mark. Pow. I can say I read through my Bible today. What'd you learn? Hey, folks, we all are going to go there. The issue is not staying there. The issue is not staying there. Amen. What a blessing that God can and will use us again. We'll let him like he did with John Mark. We don't know why he quit. We don't know why we're going to have these bad days when we check out mentally, physically, emotionally, educationally, and socially. We don't know what's going to be going on in our lives at that time, but we do know we want a second chance. John Mark, the author of this gospel, was used mightily of God because God gave him a second chance. I don't know about you. I need second chances. I've blown a witnessing opportunity before, and I said, Lord, just give me another chance. And God's given me another chance. I should have said something, and I didn't say something. I said, Lord, just give me another chance. And he gives me that chance to say something. Be in a situation with somebody where I said the wrong thing, and Lord, give me another chance so I can make that up. And I go back and get that made up. Amen. Second chances go a long way. And John Mark is living proof, along with a lot of other people in the Bible, that you and I need second chances. And you read the gospel account of Mark, and it's written by someone that gave up. But I'm glad they didn't stay, gave up. They re-signed, amen. They got back in there. Hey, we may not know why he quit, but he started again, and so can we. What second chance, think about this, what second chance do we need to take advantage of that God is willing to give you? Maybe it's talking to somebody. Maybe it's checking back in emotionally. Maybe it's checking back in socially. Maybe it's checking back in mentally or physically. But God is a God of second chance, and he wants you to know that he wants to give you a second chance. Think about Jonah. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Amen. Elijah, when he was up there, Elijah, what you doing here? And the word of God came right back to him again when he said, oh, the prophets of Baal, and I only am serving you. God spoke to him again. I'm so glad God is the God of second chance. Hey, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And what did Jesus do? Come over there, fix some fish, some coals. Come on over here, Peter, feed my sheep. What's that? Second chance. Feed my sheep. And Peter had the nerve to stick his foot in his mouth again. Well, what's preacher going to do? Well, what's Brother Duffy going to do? What's Deacon Hall going to do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said, what if I have him sit here until times get tough? That's none of your concern. Hey, folks, I'm so glad that this gospel is here because people like you and I can identify with quitting. Nobody likes to admit that they quit. Nobody. Folks, I go out exercise with my ankle all the time, and man, I get to those points, I say, I'm going to stop right there, and I quit before I get there. I think, man, I should have just kept going a little bit longer, and I quit. I quit. Lord, this hurts. It's tiring. I should have been well last year. It's the doctor's fault. Blame it on everybody and everything. I wouldn't have to be out here if this didn't happen. And that still small voice says, but you're out here. So what are you going to do? Are you going to quit? Who's going to come get you? My wife will come get me. She'll come looking for me. She has come on both times in the past. You're taking too long. Where you at? He done died out in the desert. Amen. Folks, the thought I want you to take home is God is a God of second chances. And what second chance do we need to take advantage of? You know, maybe it's with someone. Maybe it's with something. Maybe it's with some place. Maybe it's somewhere. I don't know. But I do know that God is waiting to extend second chances. You look at all these men and women in the Bible, and many of them had second chances. And you and I need second chances. Amen. G2 of Steph Curry had to do it all over again. He probably missed, make that shot that he missed. Would have won that game. But he didn't get no second chance. It was over. Would have, should have, could have. And he probably said, I just needed a second chance. If I had sized it up a little bit better and jumped a little bit and a little bit more, I could have made that. But ain't no second chance for him. It's over. It's over. Hey, what am I saying? We need second chances. As we go through some things in this gospel, we look at Mark and look at some of the things that typifies him and what he's responsible for. He's a guy just like you and I, ordinary people, writing an extraordinary piece of history and it's inspiration to you and I from the mouth of God. Amen. And so just ask yourself that question. What second chance do I need to take advantage of? Because Mark could have told Paul, you know what? And the term preacher, you dissed me. You dissed me, so I wish I would come and be somebody with you. Yeah, I'm profitable for you now. Uh-huh. Where were you at when I needed you? You know, and I believe Paul probably said, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have reacted the way I did. You know, John, I shouldn't have said what I said. I should have taken you. But at the time, I didn't have the patience. At the time, I didn't have the long suffering. At the time, I wasn't demonstrating all the fruit of the Spirit that I wrote to the Galatians about. I wasn't long-suffering with you. I wasn't gentle with you. I wasn't meek. I was so hot-headed about this that me and Barnabas had to split. And I broke up a good party. Could have been a trio. I believe Paul probably went to him and said, you know what, I shouldn't have behaved the way I did. But you know what? I did. And I'm so glad you're giving me a second chance. Because he said he's profitable. You find a couple other areas. He was actually a fellow partner with Paul. Amen. We'll see some of that next week. All because God gave him a second chance. But who was the first one to extend him a hand? Barnabas. But Barnabas couldn't have did anything without the power of God. And being the son of consolation, he consoled him and said, you know what? You quit. You left us at a time when we needed you. But God is on our side. And God's going to work with us. And God's going to work through us. And we're going to get through this. And in the end, who's on the team? John, Mark, and Paul. Amen. So ask yourself, what second chance do I need to take advantage of? Whether it's educationally, socially, emotionally, mentally, physically. God wants to give you and I a second chance. Father, help us to take advantage of second chances that are afforded to us. Lord, I do pray that you would work in our midst. Lord, help us to see some of the second chances that stare us in the face each and every day. Things that we can take advantage of. And things that perhaps we thought it was over and done with. But Lord, you've given us that opportunity. Help us to take that second chance, Lord, and be as successful in the strength and the power of God as John Mark was. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray that you would work in us and work through us. And Lord, truly take advantage of those opportunities of second chances. We thank you and love you, Lord. Work with us as we look at some of our missionaries. Now, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.